Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and season's greetings to our friends everywhere. In Bethlehem, security precautions at this time of year remain strict. Last year, for the first time, the government did not allow alcohol to be sold or even brought into Manger Square during Christmas Eve. To carry out the ban, a truckload of troops was brought in. Everyone was frisked as they entered the square, testified one of the officials. Every Christmas Eve, we had gangs of drunks causing trouble, ruining the atmosphere for everyone. Now Bethlehem is prepared to enjoy peace and quiet, as during the stillness of that famous night when our Lord was born. Here to describe Bethlehem is Jenny Goldman of the Israeli Broadcasting Service.
This is, of course, the time when, throughout the Christian world, thoughts turn to that ancient hilltop town which witnessed the very first Christmas nearly 2,000 years ago. Bethlehem, at this season, is thronged with visitors and pilgrims who have made the long journey from all four corners of the earth to join the local townsfolk in a joyous medley of praise and song. And in this program, we invite you to come with us to Bethlehem to experience the unique spirit of this ancient yet vibrant town and meet some of the people who are celebrating Christmas here in the place where Christianity was born. The town of Bethlehem lies on a hilltop just south of Jerusalem. Its white stone houses cluster tightly together, and its towers and spires rise up in silhouette against the rolling Judean hills, honey-colored and timeless, where shepherds still graze their flocks of sheep. In biblical times, this was a flourishing market town. Remember, the Hebrew name Bethlehem means house of bread. And open markets are still a feature of the town today, lending color to the narrow, winding streets. In fact, wherever you walk in Bethlehem, you find the past weaving in and out of the present. For although this is very much a town of our times, with modern facilities, new construction, and even a small university, nonetheless there is an impressive sense of antiquity prevailing over all. Nowhere do you feel this more than at the ancient Church of the Nativity, the spiritual heart of this predominantly Christian town. The thick-walled stone church was built 1,600 years ago, to enshrine the grotto traditionally believed to be the actual birthplace of Jesus.
Now, at the time when Jesus was born, as I told you, this was a cave. It was probably just went to less than the distance of where the back of the group is standing there, a very small cave. And like we were in a cave at the Shepherd's Fields, you realize that it's really quite a good place out of the wind and out of the rain for sheltering.
And now we're going to meet someone who's no stranger to the Church of the Nativity, because he's lived in Bethlehem all his life. In fact, he was born in the house that stands right next door to the church. He also happens to be the mayor of Bethlehem, Mr. Elias Fridge.
I remember the church. I know the church stone by stone, stair by stair. I know every bit and piece of the church. I love the church. It's the oldest church on earth. It's really very impressive. This is the place where my Lord Jesus Christ was born.
That is Christmas time in Bethlehem. Earlier we spoke of troops being brought in to keep the peace and calm of Bethlehem during the holiday season. Is it not sad that even in Bethlehem there is hooliganism, requiring army troops to be brought in? Perhaps it's most interesting in view of what we read in Micah 5 verses 1 and 2. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops, is how the chapter begins. Then verse 2, which is most familiar, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. The message of Micah is also found in chapter 1, verse 3. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire. What a description! When our Lord came the first time, born in a stable at Bethlehem, it was under the requirements of the law of the land. When he comes again, all lands will be subject unto him. He will be the law, ruling as with a rod of iron. The Scofield Bible notes point out, in Scripture, a mountain is the symbol of a great earth power, hills of smaller powers. Thus the mountains of prophecy, be they Russia, the United States, or the European federations of the beast, will melt away as wax before the fire. And as Zechariah testifies, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. Well, today we'd like to consider a little-known prophecy of Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, found in Luke chapter 1. It's most interesting to read of the prophetic utterances of Elizabeth, who burst forth with a loud voice upon being greeted by Mary, who came to see her when she was in her sixth month of pregnancy. At the time, her babe leaped in the womb, for he was conscious of what was going on to the extent that it affected his movement in the body of his mother. Concerning Elizabeth, when greeted by Mary, we read, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now remember, this was before Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was outpoured. And verse 67 reads, And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Now notice, Zechariah then prophesies concerning the babe in the womb of Elizabeth, saying, And thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What a prophetic utterance from a man who had been dumb from the time the angel Gabriel announced to Zechariah he would have a son, and he asks the question, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. The angel declares, Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Well, finally, when the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, she brought forth a son. The neighbors and cousins gathered together and called the boy Zechariah after his father. The mother replied, Not so. He shall be called John. And all marveled, for no one in the family ever had that name. Then they motioned to the father, and giving him a writing tablet, he wrote, His name is John. And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loose, and he praised God. Well, that's the little-known story of Zechariah and the birth of John the Baptist. Recall how we read in John chapter 1, verse 6, There was a man sent from God whose name was John. How I love that verse. Oh, to be a man sent from God. Then we read, The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. Did you hear it? John was a reflector to pave the way for the coming of Jesus. He pointed the way to Christ, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Notice Jesus Christ was the light. He is the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Mohammed cannot save anyone, nor can Buddha, nor Confucius. Rather, it is Jesus that illumines the heart of every person ever born. If your heart is responding to this message, then receive the Savior while that spark has caught a flame in your heart. It is possible for that flame to become extinguished. That's why the Bible says, "Now is the accepted time, today is the day of salvation, harden not your heart." There's some who write that we should not observe Christmas nor Easter. However, many come to Christ in the knowledge that this is the celebration of the day in which he was born, coming as a light to light every man who ever came into the world. Easter is in recognition that he died and rose again, giving proof to the assertion that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," said Jesus. So bow your head, shut your eyes, open your heart to the Savior. Thus you're driving along the highway. Then pull off to the side of the road. Make this a meaningful decision. Pray this prayer. "Lord Jesus, I believe you are the light to chase away my darkness. You are my guide to direct me into the way of peace. You are my God in whom I trust to give healing and forgiveness of all my sins. And to here and now invite you into my heart and life, to henceforth live for you and serve you all the days of my life until you come. Amen." Beloved, pray that prayer and mean it. "Be therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.